Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I just wanted to say this is the greatest show the Kansas City's ever had.
Give me your attention, baby. I gotta tell you a little something about yourself. You're one of our flawless, ooh, you a sexy lady. But you walk around here like you wanna be someone.
All right, welcome back. It's good to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. You just heard the weather forecast. Snow is coming tonight and definitely tomorrow. We spent some time with Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby at Channel 9 in the 2 o'clock hour of the program. We will repeat that interview in the late 5 o'clock hour of the show in case you missed it. He gets into detail about what you can expect tonight and into tomorrow. Coming up in just a few minutes, we will get into the, big,
decades-long saga
about the explosion in 1988 that killed 6 Kansas City firefighters. There have long been questions that the 5 people who were sent to prison were innocent or certainly were not the ones responsible. And there is new evidence today suggesting just that. We will get into that story here in just a couple of minutes. It is official. Tom Brady has announced he is retiring from the NFL in a lengthy Instagram post today. He said, "This is difficult for me to write, but here it goes. I am not going to make that competitive commitment anymore. I have loved my NFL career, and now it is time to focus my time and energy on other things." Tom Brady is
retired. Why deny it a couple of days ago? I heard he was livid that someone leaked it.
He was.
And then his dad came out and said, "Oh, this isn't a done deal." And now, of course, now he's out. I think.
And he was out last week.
Do people just want to be in control of their own
narrative
yeah. and announcement?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you are Tom Brady.
But when you decide and you are Tom Brady that you're going to retire, you are a fool if you think that's not going to leak.
You are probably the biggest name the NFL has ever had. And if you tell one person, you've told one person too many.
Yep.
Outside of your family.
Did you notice that in his entire statement, it did not include the word retirement?
Did you also notice in his entire statement, you never see the words New England Patriots? Not one time.
Oh.
He thanked the Buccaneers, for which he has played the last 2 years.
Wow.
He did not thank the New England Patriots, for which he played 20 years.
Okay, well, closer to home, the Chiefs general manager is saying that Tyrann Mathieu's contract is, quote, a priority. And there's been a lot of ink spilled over this. Is he coming? Mm-hmm. Is he going? What's going on? They came out today and said that the Honey Badgers contract with the Kansas City Chiefs is at the top of their list of priorities.
Good. And lastly, regarding football, the tickets for the Super Bowl are the most expensive ever. SeatGeek, you don't care?
Nope.
Why, Dana?
Don't care. Not going to watch.
Yes, you are. SeatGeek says the average price that customers are paying for tickets to the Super Bowl right now stands at $10,427 a ticket. StubHub says their average is $9,800. Wow.
Okay.
For one ticket, $9,800. Fools and their money are easily parted. All right, let's get to the story about the firefighters.
Yeah.
Jackson County prosecutors believe a review of new evidence in the 1988 explosion that killed six Kansas City firefighters is warranted, following reports that two additional suspects may have been involved. In a two-sentence statement today, the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office says it was asked to review recently released evidence in the case for charges against other potential suspects. Says the Prosecutor's Office, and I quote, "We believe a review is warranted, given that no statute of limitations exists for murder." The statement was issued after news surfaced about Justice Department records, which were released through court order, that show investigators found new information a decade ago to suggest that two security guards, Debbie Riggs and Donna Costanza, may have been involved in the arsons as part of an attempted insurance fraud.
I want to give our listeners a little bit of background because I know most people listening are very familiar with what happened here. If you are not, let me give you some background. There were six firefighters killed in this explosion. It happened near 71 Highway and 87th Street and shook this town. Physically shook this town, okay? It took a long time to indict anyone for this crime. There was very little physical evidence and no eyewitness, okay?
Correct.
So what they end up doing, and some would say in a very rushed, hastened way because of the pressure to get a conviction in this case with six firefighters who lost their lives, they ended up convicting five defendants. One has since died. Three remain behind bars. And the fifth, Brian Shepard, who called into our program, Scott, a couple years ago when he was finally released, he was released after a Supreme Court decision involving teenagers and their sentences.
He was 17 at the time.
Yes.
That in 1988 when the explosion occurred.
Here's the most important thing to me you need to know. And we will post all of these stories on our social media platforms. Mike McGraw with the Kansas City Star a few years ago did an outstanding expose on the mistakes that were made in this case. He is no longer with us. The five defendants that were put away for this crime,
convicted in the late 90s, by the way, 10 years after
always
the fact,
maintained their innocence. They all rejected plea deals that would have had them released years ago. And those who were offered lie detector tests passed. And there have been decades where, Scott, people in this town think they did not get the right people for this crime.
The conclusion by the Department of Justice, and by the way, this is in a 10-year-old file that was just unsealed because I believe the Star went after it.
It was Brian Shepard who went after it, and also won $344,000 in back pay for legal costs in asking for what should have been an open record.
It complicates the theory presented by investigators with the ATF and federal prosecutors that the five convicted, all small-time criminals from Kansas City's Marlboro neighborhood, hence they got the name the Marlboro Five, were the sole perpetrators and set the November 1988 fires to divert the attention of those security guards and to cover up a burglary that they allegedly committed.
It has long been thought by some that the two security guards that have now been named, prior to now, it was just, quote, the two security guards. The two security guards. These women have now been named. And the thinking by some in this town for a very long time, Scott, is that this was a ruse for insurance money for a truck belonging to one of those women that was parked near this site. Firefighters show up to battle the fire that was set, not realizing that in that trailer there were explosives. The fire gets to the trailer explodes, and because of that, we now have the hazmat rules, right? So if you have a trailer anywhere or a semi with hazardous explosive material in it, those things are now clearly labeled per federal law, and a lot of those rules, Scott, came from this very case.
Just very quickly before we get to a break, and then we'll be joined, I believe, by Angie Riccone of Channel 5, Riggs and Costanza, the two female security guards.
Yep.
Riggs and Costanza were never charged with a crime related to the arson. Both have maintained they had nothing to do with setting the fires. Attempts by the Star to reach them on Monday were unsuccessful.
They're no longer here. One lives in Texas. Another one lives somewhere else in the United States. I want to read this before we go to break. 24 of the 59 prosecution witnesses, Scott, who testified against these five, had a total of 76 felony convictions for assault, drug sales, prison escape, embezzlement, counterfeiting, fraud, forgery, sex assault, explosives violations, or manslaughter. The Star's investigation found many of the 59 witnesses who testified against these five gave damaging testimony and shared in the $50,000 reward.
We'll visit with Angie Ricono, investigative reporter with Channel 5, in just a moment after a quick break here on Dana and Parks. So news came today that Jackson County prosecutors say they now believe a review of new evidence in the 1988 explosion.
Not new evidence.
That killed newly released evidence.
Yeah,
that
be
killed
clear.
Six Kansas City firefighters is warranted following reports that two additional suspects may have been involved. Let's go to the hotline and bring in Angie Ricono with Channel 5. Angie, pleasure to have you back on the air with us. Hello.
I love how Dana cuts you off and says, not new information.
Oh, it drives me crazy. The feds have been sitting on this for 10 years. This ain't new. No, this is a decade old.
Right, but this is new to almost everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, the U.S. attorney knew it, but for all of us, this is wildly new information. I think a lot of people wondered what was down in that report and if it would name the security guards, because there was that incredible reporting by Mike McGraw. But now that we're seeing it, I think that's the next question. Everybody's like, okay, what happens next? Because you have three people who are still in prison.
Yes. And we have always said, Angie, about this case, they never would successfully prosecute it today in the way that it was then. There were so many holes in this case. I want to remind everybody, not one witness at trial, not one, said he or she saw any of the five defendants or their cars at the crime scene. There's nothing to place them there. They pass
right,
lie detector tests.
Right. It's such a difficult case also because it was a fire and there was that horrible explosion,
yeah.
So you don't have any physical evidence. And whenever, you know, we're covering this, because we've covered it here at Channel 5 throughout the years, it's just, you have to feel for these firefighter families.
Yes.
Because when Brian Shepard was released, I remember being outside the courthouse with, you know, some of the families, and they were like, this case just never goes away. Like, it never ends. Here we are. We're going to rehash it again. And this has to be so upsetting to them. So this was under embargo until this morning. And part of the reason why that took place by the attorneys who won this is they were reaching out to the fire department, to the union, to make sure that all of those families had prior notification.
Sure.
So that they wouldn't get up this morning, turn on Channel 5, or read it
right.
in the newspaper about what happened.
But I remember one of them saying, when Brian Shepard was released, Angie, after that Supreme Court decision, I remember at least one of the families saying, we want to know. If
yes.
this is going to still be dragging out, for the love of God, put somebody new on this, and once and for all, let's get to the bottom of what happened.
Right, and there's a lot in this report. I mean, we posted it all online, so if somebody goes, they can click. You can read every single page, because, right, the whole thing about this was seeing what was in this report. There are still some things redacted, because some people still had privacy. But before, it would be like entire pages were blacked out,
right.
entire paragraphs, key names you could tell were blacked out. So you pretty much, you can go through all of this, and you can see the new names and what people told federal investigators about the guards. That, you know, and it verifies much of Mike McGraw's reporting that Debbie Riggs was looking for someone to burn her truck. And it's not one or two people. There's actually three different interviews that I've gone through and found where people are telling that story, independent people who don't know each other. So it's interesting to go back through. Of course, the conclusion, and Dana, I know you and I have been texting about this, is that there could be other people involved that they believe the correct people are in prison.
Yeah, this bothers me, Angie. So
right.
explain this to our listeners. The wording that really bothers me that I've seen in the last 24 hours is that we are going to investigate the possibility that there were others involved. Well, that
right.
sentence suggests
others,
that.
Well, I reached out to the U.S. attorney. They have no plans to do anything.
Right.
I mean, they were very clear in their statement. Now, the Jackson County prosecutor, that's a whole different ball of wax. She's interested. But what the government concluded when they took a look at how they tried the case, they said we did a fair job. But then they also have this, others may have been involved in the arson, but what they conclude is that it wasn't like either or, maybe it was both.
Makes absolutely no sense. None of those five knew the security guards. And so for
right.
the government...
And something I was running around and trying to find out, like, okay, did you go to school together?
Yeah.
You know, is there any way you guys could have crossed paths? And KCTV 5, now that these people are named, we are showing their pictures. Part of our reporting process is verifying we have the correct people. And nobody involved in their circles could help us because they did not know their faces. And so that was interesting to me, too. I mean, we went through our process. Everything is verified. But it's they definitely appear that none of them were operating in the same circles.
Right. And the two there women are not talking. They live out of state, correct?
Absolutely not. I went and tried to speak with Deborah Riggs. Gosh, this is like 5 years ago. I flew to Texas because she was, you know, ignoring messages and phone calls. So I was like, well, let's just fly down there. But she wouldn't speak to me.
Did you see her?
No. No. We actually had the police called on us. She claimed that I was threatening her. She was concerned. So we left.
Now, we need to be clear.
Knocked on her door.
But you never got to see her face to face. She just called the. Okay. Now we need to be very clear here, Angie, and I think we have been. But just so everybody understands, these five defendants who were convicted in the late 1990s were convicted in federal court. The Jackson County Prosecutor's Office said today that they are looking into possibly
reopening
the case in the sense that. These two other women may or may not have had something to do with the 1988 explosion. If whatever Jackson County finds, it does not exonerate the other five because that's in a different jurisdiction.
Exactly. It's very different. And the reason why Brian Shepard is out is a sentencing guideline.
Yes.
Because the federal government went back and said you can't sentence juveniles to life in prison. He was 17 at the time of the explosion, so he is out. Darlene Edward, she asked for compassionate release, and that was denied. So there's three people still in prison. Another Shepherd died of cancer, Earl Shepherd, in 2009.
One of the things this brings up, and I know that you've done reporting on all of these cases, Angie, is that if they got this wrong, and there are so many people out there who think that the government did get this wrong, if you get a case like this wrong, how impossible it is to admit the wrong. And we have seen that in so many high-profile cases here in Kansas City where you have to move a mountain, even if everyone around you says, yep, he's in jail and he didn't do it.
Kevin Strickland.
Gene Peters Baker couldn't even get him out once we knew he didn't do it. It is nearly impossible to right a wrong or for anyone to raise their hand and say, maybe we screwed this up when something like this happens.
Right. There's always just a tremendous amount of pushback because it does upset so many people because people feel like, okay, this is now a resolved issue. And there was tremendous pressure to get answers in this case. I wasn't a reporter at the time, but I'm from Kansas City. I was living here. My family, we remember the blast. We live north of the river. So we didn't have like the violent shaking of windows like everyone else. It was like people felt something and then knew later on in the day something happened. But this was horrific. I mean, this was awful. These are people showing up at work, and they had no idea there were all those explosives in the trailers, because back then you didn't have to label it.
Right. Angie, I'm going to read this sentence from Mike McGraw's reporting. One of the government's witnesses had 17 felony convictions. Another one claimed she had selective amnesia, and one was legally blind but later told a reporter that she was confident the five defendants were guilty because she's a Pisces and, quote, therefore psychic. It is difficult for me to believe this case would have been successful if it were to happen today.
No, and I think that's what we're seeing is they have like stricter standards for almost everything because nobody wants these wrongful convictions to happen. And I'm not weighing in here if that was the case here. But obviously, they have certainly changed the way things happen. I mean, and tomorrow, with in Kansas, they're going to be discussing paid informants.
Right.
That's something they're discussing. So you see the legislators going in and saying, okay, no, we can't do this. We have to do better. They change the standards.
Angie Bracona with Channel 5. Do appreciate your time as always. Thank you for your information.
Thanks, guys. All right. Bye.
So I have been texting, just so you know, with Brian Shepard, who is the one defendant who was released because of that Supreme Court decision. We are going to try to get him on the program here coming up after the news at 3:30.
All right. Quick break, 576-7798. Sam Stevie, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
There are several stories in the last couple of days related to the 1988 explosion that killed 6 Kansas City firefighters. The one that we were talking about in the last half hour, Jackson County prosecutors believe a review of new evidence or newly disclosed evidence in the 1988 explosion is warranted following reports that 2 additional suspects may have been involved. And then there was this story from just the other day where a federal judge awarded more than $344,000 in legal fees to a former prisoner who sued the Justice Department seeking answers about the 1988 explosion, for which he spent nearly 22 years in prison. His name is Brian Shepard, who has always maintained his innocence in the explosion. And Brian Shepard joins us on the KMBZ hotline. Brian, hello.
Hey, hello.
Brian, as part of the summary that the Justice Department released, we now know way back in 2011, they said investigators had uncovered, quote, newly developed pieces of information suggesting that other people may have been involved in that arson. No other people, though, as we know, were ever charged in the case. And one of the things as a reporter I always said is when the government refuses to show you a document that is supposed to be public, I get ticked off and curious. And you are now free, and I'm guessing you were very ticked off and curious, and you sued for the government to release those documents, and lo and behold, in the redacted portion, they have named those 2 security guards.
Yep.
So why not just ride off into the sunset after the 22 years you spent behind bars? And I don't want to say let it go, but let it go. Why are you doing this?
Well, we've been fighting for this report since 2011. Several people around me, Mike McGraw, Patrick O'Connor, you know, everybody wanted to get this information that they were hiding from us. And once I was released, you know, that was my opportunity to try to fight for it, and that's what I did. Why would I ride off in the sunset? I'm trying to prove my innocence here and free my co-defendants.
The 2 security guards that were named in this information that had been available but not publicly available since 2011, they are Debbie Riggs and Donna Costanza. I'm sure I am not alone in wondering this question. Did you or anyone who was convicted in the 1988 explosion, did you know Debbie women. Riggs or Donna Costanza?
No, I've never met them before in my life. The only time I ever met them was when they walked into the courtroom to testify. That, you know, I don't know them personally, no.
And you had never even heard of them prior to the trial?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't down around the construction site. I have no idea who was secure in that area down there.
What do you want to see come out of this, Brian? Because the news that Gene Peters Baker with Jackson County wants to take another look at this has to be good news for you, but it doesn't necessarily mean it will overturn the convictions that have already been set.
Well, my whole goal here was to get to the truth, you know, and if the government's hiding information that, you know, leads to other suspects, then that's perfect. You know what I mean? Like I said, I don't know these people, and I'm going to do everything I can to get to the truth. That's what I've been doing since I got out. We filed a lawsuit. We prevailed. You know, they need to go after the right people. Five innocent people have been sitting in prison for a long time. And my co-defendants may die in there. You know, I got lucky and got out. But I'm not going to, stop and put my tail between my legs and take off. I'm going to continue to fight.
As you well know, there was a lengthy series of news reports by Mike McGraw, the Pulitzer Prize-winning, now sadly late reporter with the Kansas City Star, which called into question not only your conviction, but the conviction of the four others. You did seek a legal remedy for some legal fees, and you won $344,000. Do you have any other legal recourse to try to prove your innocence and the innocence of the other four?
Not really at this time. If the state goes after these two security guards, which I don't understand why they don't go after the brother, too. He was right there in the car with Debbie Riggs. You know, Robert Riggs should be part of this. I don't understand why he's not. You know, and the $344,000, I didn't get that money. Shook Hardy and Bacon got that money. You know, it kind of struggles with me a little bit. I mean, I understand they worked hard. They deserve it. You know, the five of us have suffered our entire lives, and a lot of people around us have benefited from that. But you know, it is what it is. I didn't get the money.
What have you been doing since you've been out, Brian?
Working and trying to rebuild my life and adjusting to society. Still, I'm still struggling with it. You know, it's 22 years is a long time.
You were 17 when all of this started?
Yeah, I was 17. And then when I was 18, I was charged with this case by myself on a state level. And my attorney, John O'Connor, proved that the witnesses they had against me were not telling the truth, and the prosecution's office dropped the charges and let me out. And I guess that made them look bad, so they figured out another way to set us all up and send us away for the rest of our lives. But, you know, they offered Richard and me 5 years to testify against the older three, you know, my uncles and Darlene. And then they turned around and did the same thing to Frank, Skip, and Darlene. They tried to get them pitted against us. They offered all of us 5 years to testify, and we turned it down, man. We're going to trial. We didn't commit this crime, and we're going to prove our innocence right here in this courtroom. They said, if you don't take the 5 years, you're going to prison for the rest of your life.
Brian, do you regret that? Do you regret not taking the 5 years?
Well, no. I mean, you know, we didn't commit the crime, and then putting people in prison for something they didn't do is wrong. You know, I mean, it's straight up wrong. If people can't own up to their own fault and their own actions, you know, why should other people have to suffer for it?
Do you have any communication with the three that remain in prison?
Darlene calls me quite a bit. Richard hasn't lately. Frank writes a lot of letters, but they can all email to Patrick O'Connor, the guy that wrote the book.
And your uncle passed, is that correct, Brian? He passed in prison?
Yeah, my uncle Skip Shepherd, he passed away in 2009, I think, right around the time of this investigation, yeah.
Hey, the Jackson County prosecutor announced today that office is going to look into this new information, two new suspects have been named in the information that was unredacted. Have you had any communication / conversation with the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office recently?
No, I haven't. Patrick O'Connor, the one that wrote the book, his son Joe just released a documentary. And in that documentary, he has evidence that's been stored in the police lockers for, you know, since 1988 that implicates the guards in...
But Brian, you're willing to sit down. My guess is you're willing to sit down with the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office.
Well, not by myself.
Yeah, Brian, man, I don't blame you there. I said to Scott, and this is not funny. There is something in the water in Kansas City where when we get it wrong, we get it so very wrong. And I feel like we have had more than our share of these headlines. I know you've seen the headlines. You've heard about Kevin Strickland and all of those things. But this is just one that has gone on for so long and has divided so many people. Please just keep in touch with us and let us know where this goes, okay?
Hey, I mean, if somebody's guilty of a crime and they get out of prison, what do?
They shut up and move on.
Yeah, not this one. I'm going to stand right here and I'm going to fight this case until we get to the truth of it.
Brian Shepherd, do appreciate your time, and good luck.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you for your time. That is Brian Shepherd. He is a free man today, has been for 5 years. He is one of the five convicted.
So think about this, Scott.
And has always maintained his innocence.
Supreme Court, in a backward side issue ruling about teenagers in America who are sentenced, Brian Shepherd gets let out. He didn't get let out because they thought he didn't do it. He didn't get let out because they made a mistake. He gets let out on this...
It's a technicality.
Technicality through the Supreme Court.
Right.
And what does he do? He doesn't put his head down, leave town, which is what I would do if I had done this. I would get the hell out of town. I would never speak to another reporter again. I would pack up. I would take, you know, the $7 that I left prison with and the shirt on my back. I would never come back to Kansas City again. And that's not what he did. And you have to ask yourself why.
Yeah. And I do want to point out something that Angie Rocono said, and it bears repeating. I agree with her on this. I feel so sorry for the families of the six firefighters who every single year are getting dragged through this again. Now, I say that, and I want to be very clear. I covered the firefighters' trial back in the 1990s. I remember Richard, his name escapes me at the moment right now. He mentioned Richard. He looked up at us, and I think me in particular, and screamed into the microphone, "We didn't do it." I have for years, and Mike McGraw's
outstanding,
stunningly good reporting in the Kansas City Star only solidified my belief that the government back in the 1990s here in Kansas City got this wrong.
They were so pressured to come up with a conviction.
And they found five people that they could pin it on, and I think they pinned it on the wrong people. I've thought that for a long, long time, and Mike McGraw deserved the Pulitzer Prize that he got. It was stunningly good reporting. And why the U.S. Attorney's Office in Kansas City can't simply say, you know what?
Let's take another look.
We read the reports. We've seen the new evidence. We're going to take another look. We're just going to make sure that we got this one right.
Because when we get it wrong, we have seen this time and time again, Scott, we suck at making things right. The system isn't set up for it. It's not.
576-7798, if you want to weigh in. Got a few minutes before the top of the hour. 576-7798. Dana Wright, Scott Parks here on KMBZ. But you will remember me for centuries. Just one mistake is all it will take. We'll go down in history. Remember all right, welcome back. Let's go to John in Kansas City. John, hello.
How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking. Go ahead.
Yeah, I called in about the firefighter deals. I was let you know that I was spoken to it about that situation and also accused of it. And they wanted me to lie about it. And then they asked me to take a lie detector test, and I took it. And what they did is they took the lie detector test and made it sound the way they wanted it to sound, like they were guilty, that someone was telling on them. They tried threatening me. I had a solid alibi. I was there in the neighborhood when it happened, but I was asleep that night with visiting my son and other relatives. Also, Dan True was involved, a detective. I believe he was ATF. He lied also. People think, why would people of law enforcement lie? But they did. There's like four of them involved at the...
And John, I'm going to stop you there. The detective that you mentioned is heavily mentioned in all of the reporting. If you want to go look it up and find it. There are several witnesses who have since come forward to say they were pressured and threatened to say this or that. There are other witnesses who say they were not. Then we have a blind psychic. Like, what were they thinking, Scott? Did you see anything?
She's a Pisces.
No.
She is a Pisces. That's right. She's a Pisces, and she just knows.
Premonition.
Sense.
Yeah. We would be remiss in this entire discussion, and we mentioned just prior to the break, that our hearts, of course, go out to the families of the six firefighters who were killed in 1988. And this case, over 34 years, has just dragged on and on and on. And there's always been questions asked about this case and the way it was handled and who was ultimately convicted. We would be remiss if we don't mention the names of those six firefighters. And let me do that very quickly. Thomas Fry, Gerald Halloran, Luther Hurd, James Kilvington Jr., Robert McCarnan, and Michael Oldham. Those are the six firefighters who were killed in 1988. Let's go to Michelle in Clinton. Michelle, hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're well, thank you. Go ahead.
I was in prison with Darlene Edwards, and she was my bunkie, and she maintained her innocence. Now, think about this. You're in prison. You've already been convicted. You can tell all, but she maintained her innocence. And I also want to say that the women that claim that she did not, that she said that she was, you know, she was guilty of it, are liars, and they got immediate release to testify against her.
There were trades made. You are accurate.
Yes. Okay. And also, they came to see me. I transferred from Pekin, Illinois to Alderson, West Virginia. They came to see me. The feds came to see me, and they threatened me. If I didn't testify, they would hold me in contempt, and they could hold me in contempt for up to 10 years. Mind you, I only had a year and a half left. And it's a crooked system. It's BS. And, I mean, to tell you that Darlene and I were close, and, you know, we told a lot of tales and come. She always maintained her innocence. And whoever had that trailer parked there did not have it marked explosives. Right. I mean, this is such a crazy thing.
Did she ever say to you when the two of you were in prison together why she thinks she was a suspect?
Because she was Frank's girlfriend.
Okay.
They all ran together in that neighborhood, Scott.
Okay. I do appreciate the call.
I do hope that this is one of those cases, and I have a short list of them, that before we're done and we hang up the headphones, we know. And I'd like to believe
ambitious
that in the end we will know, but a lot of time has passed. And I would like to say that I have faith in the system to figure it out and do the right thing. And Scott, quite frankly, I just don't.
From 1781, if I remember right, wasn't one of the children of the firefighters standing up for the guys that are currently in prison? And the answer to that is yes.
When we get back, Walmart has a new plan for delivery trucks in the state of Kansas. It would be missing one very important part of the driving equation. Sorry about that coming up.
All right, we'll get to that much more right after the news. We'll see you on the other side of that here on KMBZ.
If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun. And underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. South of the equator.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.